Greetings, flesh creatures. It is I, Megatron. On behalf of TFYLP, I want to congratulate you for listening to the most refined collective podcast on this miserable little planet Earth. Yes. Here you'll find knowledgeable fans discussing every aspect of Transformers and beyond. Now, enjoy the show while I continue my path to complete conquest of all of you miserable biological entities. Predacons, terrorize! Transformers, defenders
of truth, robots who fight in disguise. Hello everyone, welcome to Ouch My Wallet for Wednesday, August 21st. We are live broadcasting on YouTube, so feel free to join into the chat with us at 8 p.m. on Central. On Wednesdays is when we're going for. I'm your host, Rob. With me is Lucas.
Hey.
Rick.
Meow.
And Jim.
Hello.
Yeah, so Out to My Wallets, where we talk about whatever Transformers and other toys we may have gotten recently and just generally be nerds for a little while. So,
yes. My wallet really doesn't hurt until my wife finds out. So.
Then your back hurts because you're sleeping on the couch? Got him. So,
Zing.
I was thinking tonight, if you wanted to kick us off, Jim, because you haven't been on the relaunch show yet, and plus one of mine's one of yours is one that I know you had anyways, so.
Jim, look at that, the new haircut, and you got the whiskers all trimmed, looking like a handsome devil, you.
Yes.
You look like a dangerous, you look like John Travolta in, God, what's that movie?
Hairspray.
Hugh Jackman.
Hairspray. Oh. No, not Hairspray.
The John Travolta movie with Halle Berry and Hugh Jackman.
Swordfish?
He wasn't
Swordfish.
Oh, I was like, wait.
Where the bus crashed through the billboard because of speed.
Okay. I was thinking X-Men.
We are old.
Yeah. I was completely lost. I'm like,
I saw that in the theater.
Guys.
I'm like, what mutant did John Travolta play?
I didn't even know that. All I remember is that Halle Berry was in it. I don't know how I got that name.
Swordfish. Good for you, man. Where is that movie now?
Out to my wallet. I've actually picked up recently a couple of Studio Series items. First off is Bone Crusher. Just because everyone loves him, even though he hates everyone.
What do you think of it? Especially compared to like the old Deluxe.
Well, it's actually really similar to the old Deluxe. Like just overall transformation, design, and everything. It's not too dissimilar from that. The arms aren't nearly as long and gangly as the old Deluxe was. But overall, it's great. Articulation is actually better, I think. Transformation is a little more complex, but not much. It's pretty awesome.
It's a big improvement over the Deluxe. But yeah. I still feel like scale.
Scale.
I still feel we need like a leader class one, just because I want them to be bigger or as big as Optimus.
When are we gonna get Transformers the bus? I want a bus that just it like splits in two.
I'm trying to think, is there never been a Transformer bus? I know there was that other transforming bus out in Japan. I don't know what line it was, and it wasn't like very complex or anything.
Maybe that was.
I want a line of Transformers of like classic cars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
How about cars?
Call it classics.
How about Transformers classics? Middle class people actually own.
RID.
Here's my Dodge Stratus Transformer.
Look at my Dodge Neon.
I'm just saying, like all these times we get licensed vehicles, we get Lamborghinis and
can the Dodge Neon come with like a door that's like the wrong color?
Oh. How about a little three-door Saturn S?
I don't even know what that is.
A Suzuki Swift.
It's a coupe, but it has a little suicide door on the driver's side. Opens backwards.
Saturn Ion. I had one of those.
Right?
Saturn Ion. Yeah.
Saturn doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No,
they died.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Saturn was kind of like GM still exists, so I mean they could always bring it back if they wanted.
For now, GM exists for now.
Yeah.
With what's going on in the news, they might not make it till next year.
Then, in addition to Bone Crusher, I got Hightower.
As did I.
I am thoroughly impressed by this. I mentioned in previous episodes, I'm just a massive fan of the outlandish, more alien designs that don't conform to the standard human shape. And this fits the bill nicely.
Jim, so I enjoy the fact that you can pilot a ship or use a keyboard or something.
He doesn't need to. He's a transforming alien.
I would assume he would have some kind of port. Like maybe he has a USB port that he just flips out, plugs himself into it.
Wi-Fi, baby.
But you'll never see that.
Like a T-Rex, where you know the arms aren't really useful.
But you'll never really see that in the PG version.
So speaking of a PG version,
facepalm.
You think there'll be a third party version of you know what for this Devastator?
Oh, the testing.
I anticipate
what?
It's probably already in the design phase.
Aren't they making a third party Devastator already? I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody.
I bet you that comes with that.
Yeah.
But I'm actually surprised that no one ever took the Legends figures that we got back in Revenge of the Fallen.
Upscaled them?
And upscaled them, yeah.
You know, Jim, a while back when you mentioned about how, I think we were talking about like, kind of like what, it was the episode we were talking about where like what kind of like mark each line had on the franchise, and you mentioned that, you know, about what you liked from the movies, that it got us some weird-ass designs, and everything you said that really resonated with me, and it made me appreciate the Bay designs more, because I still hate the movies, but like they give us some unique-looking toys, like when the toys are good, you know, like Revenge of the Fallen was an excellent toy line. This is definitely the weirdest of the bunch yet.
Let me ask you, though, like, from that line, like, two stick out. Ravage and The Fallen. Would you consider Ravage good for robot mode. But, like,
does it transform?
It just kind of transforms because it has to, not because it needs to.
Yeah. And Fallen's not very good either.
I'm drawing a blank. What does the Deluxe Ravage transform into? I don't think I've ever got that figure.
Into like a little, like, satellite alien ship type thing.
Okay, little like
it's alien looking. It's alien looking.
Okay, because I remember I had the Deluxe Soundwave and Ravage was the missile.
It's actually pronounced Ravage. A lot of people don't know that.
That may not be accurate.
Working at Hasbro, I can tell you it's actually pronounced Ravage.
Well,
we'll have to check the TF wiki.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard it, he was announced, I thought it was pronounced Ravage.
Ravage? Or Ravage?
You have to pronounce it so that it rhymes with ravioli.
It's Ravage. Come on,
okay,
people.
So you're using a hard G, so let me guess. You're one of those people that says GIF instead of JIF, right?
Well, yes, I say it correctly.
Anything else you got, Jim?
Isn't Jif a peanut butter?
Yes. Choosy mom, Jiffy. Choose Jif.
Yes.
You guys remember Peter Pan peanut butter? Is that still a thing?
Yes.
Or is that gone?
No, it's there. That's usually what our peanut butter is.
What kind of peanut butter do you get, Rick?
I think my wife has Skip. Is that it? Is that one?
Skippy?
Or Sith? I don't know.
Gibby.
The dog likes it.
Whoa, would she know you call her that? That is rude.
Well,
that is the love of your life.
Not to her face. Mm. Okay, sometimes to her face, but yeah.
I'm going to make sure she finds this video.
Ouchie.
I'll just clip it.
We'll fix it in post.
as far as other figures, I don't have them actually sitting here with me, but earlier in the month, I turned 36. I got a Siege, Chromia, and Brunt for my birthday. They're like way off camera. I'm not going to
congratulate those.
You guys have seen them. You know what they look like. Speaking of Chromia, what is up with her crotch? It will not stay on.
That little front.
Yeah, it just falls off. Like you look at Chromia.
The underpants
off.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know if mine does. Mine fall off.
Does yours fall off?
I mean, I think mine popped off once, and that was it.
I mean,
I was gonna say mine hasn't really popped off.
Mine pops off easily enough.
Oh, there we go. Now it did.
There you go.
I mean, honestly, it's just another crap part of a crap toy from a crap design. Whatever.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kind of feeling that, man. I kind of feel the same way what you just described. Like, there's some things which are really hitting it, like. The movie, like the studio series Long Haul, but then there's other things like that Chromia, which just kind of.
Yeah, I've not had a chance to pick up Long Haul yet.
But luckily we have like 1,000 remolds of this figure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah,
thank God. What would we do without it?
I mean, you know, when you're in the desert, you know.
Now,
you drink whatever comes around, but ugh.
Yeah. Now we can expect 1,000,000 versions of. All our characters known as Ghostbusters.
There it goes. Yes. Yes, I'm excited. I will take that.
Yep. I mean, that's a BotCon set right there.
A what con?
Exactly.
It was before you were familiar? Born.
But before you were born, Robert. Don't worry about it.
I'm
an old man. I'm 40.
I look like I'm 50.
You near it.
I'm especially excited about the Ghostbusters line being acquired by Hasbro.
So it'll be less expensive?
Totally am.
I really like all the, you know, the diamond stuff. It's just expensive.
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example of why I'm so excited about the
Ghostbusters. I really hope we get 3¾-inch Ghostbusters. Like, that's what I kind of want.
You mean like G.I. Joe's?
That's why I'm excited about the Ghostbusters license. It's only going to be a matter of time.
How come he's not in the comic
book? Oh, man, that is a...
It's a matter of time before we get Vince Clortho and Zool, and they remold it into Horrible. I'm calling it now.
I believe what you have said is will come to pass.
Are you ready to believe me?
I am ready to believe you.
That is a striking resemblance. That I never would have realized.
555?
Absolutely it is.
Yes. Wow. You nailed it on its bald head.
Yep. So you said...
It just... That figure, Horrible, was just, I think, done in the spirit of Zool and Vince Clortho.
God damn!
And that's the thing about spirit.
That's a Comic-Con exclusive right there, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, some people hear it, some people hear it, some people just won't go near it.
You said Hasbro had acquired Ghostbusters. Like, did they get the full licensing thing?
Yes.
Yeah, the master license.
Yeah, they just announced it today.
Okay, so... Yep.
But it's not just Ghostbusters. It's the master license, I think, for... is it Universal, or...?
Really?
I didn't realize that.
I only knew part of Ghostbusters. Are you sure?
I don't know. Because there's different articles that state...
Yeah.
All the fan articles focus on Ghostbusters, but if you look at the actual, like... You know, like a Economist article, it says a few extra things in there, which are interesting.
So you say Ghostbusters line, though, like, it's not like there's a Ghostbusters line in the store right now or anything, right?
No.
There's a movie coming out next year.
Oh, is this the one that's a reboot?
Ghostbusters 3. No, it's Ghostbusters 3.
Okay, so...
Yeah,
the female version, is it still canon? It's just this doesn't have anything to do with...
No, that's gone.
It's not even canon.
This is a direct sequel to the original Ghostbusters.
They got
so they're all back, and Jason Reitman, who's Ivan Reitman's son, is directing it.
Okay,
and he wrote it. He wrote it with his dad.
I guess are they going to start with like a funeral or something?
I bet you Egon shows up. I bet you he's in the trap.
I've heard that Egon's
CGI it.
I've heard that Egon's kid is actually in it. Like, but that's how they're gonna do it.
Is that who the Stranger's kid thing is in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the rumor, is that she's like his kid.
Okay.
Well, whatever they decide, I trust Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd enough that they would be respectful of Harold Ramis.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, definitely. They
were all really close.
And definitely Jason Reitman, who...
Yeah.
I can imagine that. Yeah. Oh, I'm just surprised that they got Bill Murray along, because for years he was just like, nobody wants to see a bunch of fat, old comedy actors get back together again and try to be funny. Like, he was so down on it for so long.
I think Ghostbusters Answer the Call, as it's been retroactively named, is left a sour taste in people's mouth, and they kind of want to end it on a high note.
Well,
I still think they should make a 21 Jump Street Ghostbusters crossover, or a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover. I think that would be cool.
Like, the true Ghostbusters 3 was the PC game. Or, I mean, it was out on, like, all the consoles, too. Like, where it had all the voice.
Yeah.
They did
all
the voices for all of it. Like, I'm sure there's a YouTube compilation of just, like...
there is. You know, all the cutscenes.
Yeah. That was a great game. But toys. Toys.
Oh, yeah. What? We're doing toys and stuff?
Speaking of toys, Lucas, what do you got?
Well, I have a few things. So my most expensive purchase was that there's a certain person that's decided to get rid of his collection, and he has an extensive collection.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. He's not dead. He's just dead to us.
What's his face? Doran?
Yeah, like Doran.
Yeah,
like the fruit.
The guy
who played Worf.
Is that Flame?
I got some European guys. These are the motivators. So it's Gripper, Lightspeed, and Flame. Yeah.
Yeah. So those don't combine.
No, they do combine. They just don't have extra bits.
Right. Right.
There's no shield, or I'm sorry, right. no chest piece. But you can still combine them together. So,
you know,
I just have not done that yet.
I have Road Caesar, and I have Flame and the Red Guy. That, like, I got Flame and the Red Guy, like, in a junker lot forever ago, you know. And I've never looked at, like, isn't the biggest, like, difference between the two sets, like, Flame is actually red on the chest, and I don't think that version on Road Caesar is. I think he's black on the chest. Is that right? Like, I have him up there. I don't want to get him down right now. Am I right? Am I crazy? Anybody know?
No, I know. I took pictures of all this stuff for one of my books. It's in there somewhere. I'm just too lazy.
Available on Amazon.
Go buy my book. This is why I wrote it down in the book. This is why I wrote it down in the book.
Right. We need Peter on these episodes, because then he can just break down exactly all the differences.
No kidding. So, Lucas, I didn't think you bought much G1, though. Oh, that's right. You're buying G2, aren't you? Do you consider those G2?
Right.
G1.
I consider it G2. So that is one of the things that I go for is the G1.5 or whatever European stuff. I have all the every G2 US release is like released to the store. Like, I don't have obviously like Minnesota or whatever, but I have all the US releases, and then I'm working on the European stuff right now. So, but yeah, so I'm down to the point now where I have to get stuff like this, because I have most of the other stuff.
G1, yeah, I'm missing a bunch of European stuff.
The G1 1.5, you know, the late Euro G1 stuff is like, that's a really fun toy line, I think. Like, I have most of it on like two shelves, and it's not a ton of toys, but they're all really colorful. And that's why a lot of people, I think, loop them in with G2, even though they're not. But they're all like unique molds. You know, they got, most of them got repainted as Machine Wars. Not all of them, but I don't know.
A lot of them.
I think it's a cool.
I have all the Machine Wars as well.
I think it's a cool subline that often goes overlooked. You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think from that line, Thunderclashes, I think, is by far the best toy. Like, that's the one. Like, if you're gonna get one, like, I would get a Thunderclash. And then the Skyquake is pretty good too. Like, I mean, he's a brick, but he's big, like, and looks cool. So
you can get the King Atlas version.
Rotor Swarm's good too. Yep. Yep.
Oh yeah, from Universe.
Yep.
Yeah. Or again, from Machine Wars, they have a Starscream,
yeah,
which it's the weirdest thing because it's like a black, you know, figure that I don't know why they call it Starscream, but you know, yeah, whatever.
Those don't come with all the pieces and guns and stuff. And
the 18 billion little green missiles that almost that half that line has. Or that, or the GPS guns that the half the line has as well, that the posts are broken off on all of them.
Yeah. No, that's the thing is like a lot of that line, it's like, it's going to be so hard to track down any accessories. It's like whatever you buy it, just be okay with what you're getting out of, you know, out of that lot, because trying to find those accessories is really hard. But I think like a lot of the yellow missiles, on some of them are not that hard to find, but the green missiles are a little bit harder to find, I think.
The green missiles are really abundant because like the Skyquake came with like 5,000. The yellow ones can be harder because they came with like what was it, like Boss and is it Hydra, one of the names, like those four sets of cars. So those are in lesser supply, but the green missiles, because
you're right, yeah,
all over the place.
I got it flipped around.
I actually got the four like main cars, like what's his name, Iron Fist, like the four that are like in that subgroup. Like I had two or three of them, and then eBay had some eBay auction with the line of them with like stickers unapplied and everything in a lot. And I mean, I paid for it, but I paid under market for the lot because nobody wanted to pay for every individual figure. You know, they should have split it up. And I got it as a pretty good deal. So now I have like super awesome versions of it. I should put Repo labels on them someday, but.
Well, the funny thing is on all of these figures is that like they're really abundant in Europe because I mean, they're the European figures. And so it's almost like they're G1, you know, and it's like pretty abundant. So like there's certain countries that just like if you look on eBay, like you can get them from like the Netherlands or Greece is like, you know, another one. And shipping actually isn't that bad from those countries to the U.S. So I've actually gotten a few of mine directly from someone in Europe.
Yeah, like Overlord, you know, he's a big deal here in the U.S., but Overlord's pretty common in Europe. You know, I mean, it's not like you're going to find him for $10 or whatever, but, you know, especially like, you know, played with versions, missing a few parts, it's not a big deal over there.
Yeah.
We'll have to go to Auto Nation? Isn't that like one of
the... TF Nation.
Yeah,
and Auto Assembly. That's what I was confusing with.
That was this weekend.
Yep.
TF Nation.
Yeah, TF Nation was.
What is that?
So it was funny. Greg Berger actually tweeted out about how much fun he had at TF Expo this last weekend in the UK. He's like getting his, because he went to TF Expo last year, so I'm sure he probably was just getting it confused between the two. I've got myself a Star Saber.
Is that Planet X's?
This is the Planet X version.
Man,
so
that's pretty.
It is pretty. I tell you what, like they did a hell of a job with all the paint. Like there's a lot of paint. There's a lot of die-cast. Like the little... the legs are all die-cast. The arms, like there's just a ton of... Like this figure and then their Deathsaurus figure both. Like they just really upped their game like compared to the older figures. And so there's just like the amount of paint and die cast and all that is just is really good on it. So like I actually prefer this over the Masterpiece version just because like I don't know. I didn't like that the Masterpiece version was unpainted and it just was kind of plain to me.
Zaldron asks I'm more of a... if that's gonna be Microcasters next week.
So typically on Microcasters we usually don't do high end figures. I guess we can if people want to, you know, check that stuff out.
But I got one on pre-order. I haven't, hasn't hit me yet.
I've been holding off on both that and the Deathsaurus. Like I want them, especially like, cause they're IDW inspired. They're not like 100% faithful, but they're like 90%, 95%. It's about as close as it gets. I was really surprised when you mentioned diecast cause I have Planet X as some of their older stuff. And like, you know, none of it has diecast in it. And yeah, I'm surprised they've upped their game that much. That looks really, really stand out.
Yeah, no, it is really good. I mean, it's a little more expensive. This figure is $150. But I would highly recommend the Deathsaurus. Like, I think that this one, I don't think it's quite as good, but it, I mean, it's still good. It still looks really good. There's a lot of articulation in it. But yeah, like that Death Source, I would definitely jump
How's
on
the
that.
Transformation?
So I actually have not transformed it yet. I just got this in on Monday, and I just have not had a chance to transform them yet.
Does it come with the, does it have like, you know, the three pieces that Star Saber traditionally has? You know, he's got the little inner robot and the headmaster.
Yeah, so it has the little inner robot. It doesn't have the headmaster.
Okay.
And then it has the, whatchamacallit? The, here we go.
I mean, it's not like that was prevalent in IDW but
this little piece is was just off, but I guess I'll put that on.
Right.
So. But yeah. It's cool. I like it. I'm happy that Planet X has upped their game and is still making stuff and whatnot.
I really love Planet X stuff. I couldn't be happier with that Trypticon that they made.
Oh man, somebody actually was offering that for $250 on the Facebook groups, and I've been thinking about it just because I've never actually checked that mold out.
You know, it's that was one of the figures that. That was one of the things I worked on, and
Planet
I was
not, and
the game, and I was like, "We're never gonna get this as a toy. Never gonna get this as a toy," and I'm just like, I'm giddy every time I handle it, just because it's perfect. It's a perfect representation of that character, and it's a great, great transformation.
I just don't have the room for it. I'm full.
Yeah. It's not as big as you might think. It's definitely smaller than like Utopia.
That's what she said.
Or Dystopia. But you know, one thing about that mold is that it's got all the sharp points on it, so you can definitely cut yourself or impale yourself.
So you're saying I shouldn't let my kids play with it?
No.
Let them throw it at each other's face.
Yeah.
No, if you like their eyes where they are, don't.
Yeah. Like, honey, I don't know what happened.
No.
You'll put your eye out, kid.
And then I went ahead and got one more thing, too.
I almost bought that this weekend.
Man, I've been eyeing this thing for forever.
All right, and can I ask what you pay for it?
What, this? $135?
All right, I almost bought it for $140 this weekend, and the price didn't seem right to me. It's a $5 difference, but still.
Yeah, I mean BBTS is who I got it from, so it was like $135. So, but yeah, no, like I really enjoyed the new movie. I really love the designs from that movie as well, and so I've kind of was debating between this and then. There's a couple third party options as well. And so I was on the fence, and they showed him off this, what was it, last weekend, I think, at like some Hong Kong like convention or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I don't really like the way they look. And I know this thing looks perfect. Like, yes, it doesn't transform, but it is, you know, 100% a accurate representation of the movie figure. So,
it's a statue.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing that I like about the 3A stuff is like, I mean, it's a little more reasonable compared to at least, especially this line, like, you know, the Flames toys has been kind of the thing going around. And so they like have a drift figure that is roughly about the size, maybe a little bit bigger. And I realize it's different, but like that thing is like what, $350 or something. And so like
No, it's not that much. The red version is like $300.
Oh, I'm $300. I was thinking of the Tarn. Is the Tarn $350?
Tarn was like $400.
Yeah, that's up there. But the red drift, I was just looking at one this weekend. That was $300.
At TFCon USA last year, they had Tarn out, and like, you know, they saw me look at it as I walked by, and she's like, "Come on," she's like, "Pick it up." Like she was trying to make the sale. And, you know, she was just like, pick it up, handle it. She's like, use it. She's like, it does this. And talking about how, you know, the joints move, you know, parts slide in and out. You know, they cover it up. There's no gaps. It was really, really impressive, but still.
The one thing I've heard about those figures, and Rick, I don't know if you... Do you own any of the Flame Toy figures?
Yes.
So, how are the joints on yours? Because I've heard from various people that, like, the friction joints kind of wear down after a while.
You're going to have to watch Cut the Tape, because that's on the list of stuff to open.
Oh, there you go.
That's on the list.
We'll find out. Nice.
We'll find out. I'll make sure I bump that up a few shows for you.
I've heard that is the friction joints like don't hold up like over time.
Like and from this, using like, them or just bearing their weight.
It's an easy fix though.
Yeah. Just from using the, like posing it and whatever. The joints on this are like super tight. They've got all kinds of. There's all kinds of washes on it and whatever. So it looks really, really neat. Like I'm very happy with this. And so I'm definitely going to get this. And then they have an Optimus Prime coming out, I think at the end of the year. And so I want to get both of these and kind of have those guys together.
I think you might've sold me on that.
I'm interested in the one that transforms just cause I did not like any of the offerings that came out. You know, they were based on apparently like, early concept art of Bumblebee, and so like even the masterpiece Bumblebee Bug like is really far off model, you know. So I just was like, eh. But we'll see how the who is it, Zeta, that's doing it.
Yeah, Zeta, and then Transform Element, I think, actually showed one off too.
Yeah,
and theirs looks pretty good as well. And I know like there's a Toy World is releasing a Optimus Prime as well, like Freedom Leader or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the movie version, and that actually looks really good to see. Like, so I was kind of debating about those, but I don't know. Like, I mean, again, like my masterpiece figures, like I end up just not transforming the things. You know, they like I transform them once, they sit on my shelf, and so I kind of figured what this is that I still really love, you know, just kind of moving around all the joints and manipulating it and whatever. So I've been really happy with it. I just keep wanting to pick it up and play with it. And it's kind of the same way where like when the joints move, like there's like little pistons in it and whatever.
That's cool.
It's definitely a like kind of a in between an art piece and a, you know, whatever, again, like you said, Action Master or whatever. I've been happy with it. I've been very impressed. Like I wasn't really sure about it. Before I ordered it, and I'm happy. So that's that.
Awesome.
That's my stuff for the week.
All right, Rick, you want to go or should I go?
I got a ton of stuff. I can go.
Go for it. All
right. So I've been, this weekend was a hectic weekend for me. I went to Vegas, then California, then Vegas, then California, and I came back.
We
want to
know about what toys you got, not what STDs, man.
So,
that's a different show. That's after hours.
All right. Yes. That's Get the Meds. That's the name of that show. I'll start vintage. This is called a VHS tape. Right? And then you open it, and this is what it looks like.
Do you have something to play that on?
I do. I do. Actually, the tape does work. The tape does work. So this is, someone was kind enough, and they rewound. This is Transformer Zone. This is the first official release of Transformer Zone, which was the MicroMasters pilot episode, I guess you would call it, or
only episode.
Yeah, special event. I don't know. So, this is the actual official VHS release of it.
Would you so actually watch it?
Nice.
Yeah, I like Zone.
That physical copy. Versus, you know, like one of the DVD releases. I would be.
I think Zone's the one that hasn't come out on DVD.
Oh, it hasn't.
The one that hasn't. Been. Yeah.
Hmm. We don't. Have
it's Zone. On Laserdisc, I believe.
Nice.
So coming soon to Cut the Tape. There's this thing. This is the San Diego Bot Shots thing. It opens up, and you know, some attention was paid to this. Someone who's been to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, did this. There's the Line League, the meet and greets and the Fantastic Fuelers. And it's a pretty neat set. I'll probably never open this.
Well, it's nice to have like a little window, you know, box there. So.
Yeah, usually with like solid boxes, I tend to just get one instead of two. You know, in my old age, but I'll keep that one sealed. I got this. I'll definitely open. I got the the Grappel, the masterpiece Grappel.
That is a, and I know it's an old toy or whatever, but that's, you know, we used to talk about how, like, Masterpiece toys have that Masterpiece moment, and the way both, you know, that one and Inferno, all that collapses into their back was just mind-blowing, and it's still awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Inferno's definitely one of my favorite ones.
Well, and I think Grapple is much, or Grappel, it is the better mold, honestly, too. Like, it's just more interesting.
And it's the face options that really make it. You know, you get the toy face, the show face. So there, I don't think there'll ever be a plus version of this. I think we got it all in one shot. I got this brown box. This will definitely come to cut the tape. This is the Legends Big Powered box set.
Oh, nice!
This is the shipping box that came in. A little late to the party, but I finally got my toy version Megatron.
That's such a beautiful figure. I've been so tempted by that so many times. It's just
yeah. Space. I got to play with my friend's Megatron, and definitely opening this guy up. I really hope it has the. It doesn't have it, but it's got the toy head in it, which I'm going to use for this version.
Totes.
But I keep wanting to have one with like the head from the old commercial, like that dark gray head.
Yeah.
And then I got this thing. I love
you too.
So this is the Make Toys Starscream version, but done in the G2 with the G2 packaging.
You know, Rick,
that is not small.
No, no, this is big. I mean, look, I have a big face.
Yeah. So whenever I got the same figure at TFCon, right? And I get it upstairs, and I realize I'm having trouble actually fitting it into my carry-on. Because, like, I had to fly to L.A.
You had to fit this in your carry-on?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Rip.
So I'm sitting here just trying to, like, squeeze it a little bit and whatever just to get the darn thing in there. I managed to make it fit without tearing up the packaging, but it was definitely not easy.
Yeah. And then I finally got a. In addition to that, I have a nice Merlot. It's actually pronounced Merlot. There's a T there, so.
You know, Rick, I was. You know, you're obviously not shy of third party. You're fine with it. You know, especially somebody that used to work with Hasbro. I was kind of curious. I know this is off topic, but whatever. What is the general vibe around third party, like in the office? Like,
burn it to the ground and kill it.
Really? Like, straight up hate it?
So, I was very much...
were you in the closet?
Everyone was very much toe of the line that this is killing... This affects our business. We had spreadsheets on how much money we were losing comparatively. A lot of time was spent on analyzing that. But nothing was done with it because of costs. So, when I got let go from Hasbro, when me and 1,700 of my closest friends all left Hasbro, I think in the first month I spent like $2,000 on third party stuff.
Oh, so you stayed away from it while you were...
I had stayed away from it up until the point where it's like, I'm going to collect what I want to collect.
How did they determine...
And then I took out late after. All right.
So how did they determine that they lost money towards it? Because, you know, it's all very collector-oriented, which isn't really what Hasbro was doing, especially then.
I don't want to get too into it.
Yeah. I mean, did they just say, oh, if they sold that toy, that was money that would have came to us? Did they make, you know, really
bad
assumptions?
They had a factor in, and I was part of the team that actually put the spreadsheet together. How many units were produced? How many were distributed? The average price of that item? I mean, Hasbro had a lot of information as far as, like, who was making them, where they were being made.
Yeah.
Like, pictures of the places they were being made, pictures of the inside of the places they were being made.
Yeah.
But, you know, China's the Wild West. So,
yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, it's crazy they had that much information and, like, couldn't really do anything about it.
You know, part of the reason why, because the brand has to pay for legal brand expenses. There's an overall expense that goes to the legal team, but that's for more macro situations. For a micro situation, this, the brand would have to pay for it directly out of their budget, which means that they would have to actually not tool a figure and release it in order to pay to go after someone to the degree that they would need to in China to make them stop. And then that person would just go across the street, open a new factory.
And then, right.
Do you think there's, is there any validity to third party did free market research for Hasbro that people love combiners and get helped make Combiner Wars happen?
I think that Hasbro kind of saw the writing on the wall, like, combiners are popular. Let's make combiners. I think that was it. But as far as, like, numbers, no.
Okay.
As far as, like, hey, who's making what? How much are they selling them for? How many units? Should we, taking that data, extrapolating it into a business decision? No. It didn't work like that.
Okay.
But, and finally, I need to get a repro insert for this. I got my corrected box Target Master Hot Rod, and I got a new loose Target Master Hot Rod because mine broke.
So is that like a G1 box, or is that from a reissue or something?
Oh yeah, no. This is Generation 1.
Awesome.
So I do need to get a correct insert. So I was thinking, you know, I was looking at this, and it's got all the paperwork and all the unused sticker sheets, and I'm like, man, it'd be really cool if that Unicron came with that little red film, you know, and you can just. If Unicron came with this, you know, that would just make it extra special and like a little rub sign on it, like that right there.
Well,
little details like that, which make it extra special. How did Unicron have a rub
sign? He's not a Decepticon. He's not an
Autobot. There's a Unicron faction symbol.
Faction of one.
According to Beast Wars Neo. So the Blentrons were all Unicron. But nobody at Hasbro would know that, so. The original Unicron actually had space for a rub sign as well. Oh. The original 86 prototype.
I'm curious what faction.
It'd probably be Decepticon.
He's bad.
No little Orson Welles face or anything.
Yeah, just a fat man's face.
Sound effects of him screaming about wine. Whatever that audio clip is of him.
These frozen peas. Purchase. Orson Welles.
So that's quite a haul. Is that like a week or two worth? Or
this is a weekend. I made the trip worth it, man. And I didn't go to every place I wanted to go to, and the show was kind of a bust. The show had some really good stuff, man. I almost dropped some major cash on some Sealed Centurion stuff. But
how I go, and I'm like, oh, like I may have spent the most money this week, like. You know, da 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 da, and then Rick's like, "Hold on, let me pull out."
Yeah, I somebody had all three Centurions plus Hagar sealed, and two of the vehicles sealed, and the only reason I didn't pull the trigger was because of Unicron. So that thing better get funded, or I'm out. Centurion's collection. So.
You said all three Centurions and who else?
All three Centurions and Hagar. He was the, he kind of looked like you, actually.
He's in Final Fight, right?
Hagar? No, he was like half man, half robot.
Oh, Hacker. Doctor and Hacker.
Doctor and Hacker, yes. Hagar is from Final Fight, you're right.
Well, that Voltron, right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, which Hagar?
Yeah, Hacker, yes, sorry, yes.
That's what I was confused. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's the one Centurion figure I still need. So,
who has the ownership over the Centurions brand?
Not Hasbro.
It's not Hasbro.
Not Hasbro.
Or was that Mattel?
No, it was made by Kenner.
Was it Kenner?
But the IP was somebody else. So someone else owns the IP. Kenner just had the rights to make the toys.
Interesting.
So it's something that we worked on a little bit while I was at Hasbro. And when I worked at Hasbro, the department I actually worked for was called HasLab. And it was all new IP development. And then they've repurposed the name to be like the Hasbro version of Kickstarter. So we worked on HasLab a little bit on Centurions, but it was very murky as to who owned what. And we had already spent so much money on figuring out the ownership rights of Sectars and Micronauts and ROM that they didn't want to pursue trying to find out exactly who owned what in regards to Centurions. Well, and eventually HasLab was disbanded and everyone was let go.
I see.
So I guess I'll wrap it up here. I don't have much Transformers. You know, I got Hightower just like Jim did. You know, we already talked about that. And the only other thing I got this week actually isn't Transformers, but it is a transforming robot. Got the Solo Chogokin God Mars.
Hey. Oh! I need that in my life.
Yeah. Do you, though? Ooh, honestly, I don't even know anything about God Mars, but, you know, I like transforming robots, and this guy transforms. Yeah,
it's nice. Tell me it's diecast.
Oh, I mean, not, like, fully. Like, there's definitely plastic in it, but there's also definitely diecast in it as well.
I need that on my Voltron shelf.
No, he's... it's an old mold. Like, I think it's, like, over 10 years old, so, like, the articulation's pretty limited. I mean, you know, it has, you know... It has knees, yeah. But, you know, there's a big gap. You know, that's not how Solo Chogokin would do it these days. There's almost no hip. But there is a, you know, swivel there. But the problem I have with it right now is, and, you know, maybe somebody watching this that owns this figure can tell me what I'm doing wrong here. I cannot unpeg the arms for the life of me.
Are there buttons that you have to press, like pressure?
Mm-mm. I mean, I thought there'd be buttons. And, like, I've looked through the instructions and nothing. It just says... I mean,
Did you check Dr. YouTube?
Check Dr. YouTube, and you know what people do? They just go, like, the one or two videos I can find. Most people, you know, they start with the individuals. They combine it in the video, you know.
Let's see. Why don't you mail it to me, and then I'll show you how to take the arms out.
Now, I mean, that reminds me of a similar issue with the legendary Voltron figures that they did. Not the classic legendary, but the regular legendary for the Netflix show.
Oh, the Playmates.
Right. Well, it's the. Just came out like within the past couple years. Anyway, the red and green lions were difficult to try to unpeg from the black lion, right? And so what they figured is that you just extend the arm forward, and then pull it inward, and that'll kind of help to pop it out. But on the classic set, based on the 80s design, they actually put a little button there to release it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of connections having buttons. Like, I think it's a great way to do things, but this guy has no buttons in it.
I don't want to encourage you to risk breaking anything.
Did you try yelling at it?
One idea would be maybe, like, just try it, just extend it forward.
Yeah, I just did as soon as you said it, and it's just... It just does not want to give. And I've put a lot of force into it, you know, and it, I'm not even getting like a budge here. So I don't know.
That's the thing that's hard too, is like a high end collectible versus like the Playmate set. Like, okay, if somehow you broke those arms, like you could return it to the store, you know, kind of thing. And the combined cost of it is, you know, whatever, like $100.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I don't know how much that sold.
It's like it's brand new. You know, it's $280. Like, you can buy it in stores or whatever. Or online, like Big Bad or whatever. eBay.
We'll break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to play with it. That's why I buy Transformers. I like combining and uncombining.
I really want your comparison. Like, when MP44 comes out, I really want to have you compare that to like Soul Jojokin stuff, because I love that, like, that Voltron that came out so much, and it kind of ruined Masterpiece for me a little bit, just because I just didn't feel like it was as good.
I hit ship on my pile of loot today that has the Soul Jojokin Voltron in it, because I missed, like, I mean, I've had the 20th anniversary Voltron for forever, and I was like, oh, that's good, you know, I don't need to drop 300, and then I saw the reviews of that thing, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, I want that. But I was like, oh, but I'm not going to – I don't $600, $700 want it. And then I was able to secure, you know, one of the reissues on Big Bad, you know, for the 5 minutes it was up.
That Soldier Joke and Voltron is probably the favorite piece of my collection.
Really?
Really?
So, for me, like, I mean, I'm also a big Voltron fan. So, for me, it was just the perfect representation of it. I just love how they made it and how it all comes together and whatever. So,
yeah, I don't have like a gajillion Solo Chogokins, but you know, got God Mars, Gunbuster, and Dan Kuga.
The only one really, really after is I forget who made it, but I think it was General Giants. They made a Shogun version of it. So I have the Lion Voltron, but I don't have the other one.
The Vehicle Voltron, I have the pre-order for that one too.
Yeah, actually, I have the Miracle Wonder Diruga 15, but I actually put it on eBay last night.
Yeah, I have that one too.
And it's the improved
version. Do you have the first version or the second version?
I got the second version, the improved version.
I got the crappy first version because I needed to have it right away.
The second version is like not perfect, but it's not bad. I'm a little worried about the Solo Chogokin one because that left arm post is like really far out. And like all the promo shots, it's really noticeable. As well as the feet to the lower thigh, it's like a tiny post is what's there. And so I'm a little curious about it, but I went ahead and decided I'd get it. We'll see what happens. You know, I know a lot of people use Solo Chogokins like a high mark, and they're definitely awesome figures, but they're not perfect either. You know, I want to put my Gunbuster has broken two or three places. The fingers on him have started disintegrating. Mm. You know, just flat out disintegrating. And it's plastic. It does that. And one of the, he has like a bunch of, like his arm has like a bunch of flaps that fold out, like fires missiles and crap. And like the pegs where they fold in, one of those broke, you know, and that's through gentle handling, you know, it happens. But yeah, I'm obviously MP44 is their attempt to really rise into that, to that level. I think it's what they're doing is they're saying, hey, this is a robot collector market. Why are we so underpriced compared to things like Solo Chogokin? So I think it'll be curious if it holds up.
Yet Unicron can't get funded.
Well, it hadn't happened yet. We'll see. All right. Well, unless anybody has anything else that they want to talk about, I believe that'll wrap us for today. Anything? Anybody? Going once, going twice, going thrice.
Hey, just a quick update. Unicron is at 2,827 backers. So just real quick, if anybody knows the answer to this, we were talking before the show. So, like, it says 2,827 backers. Like, I ordered two. Does that mean I'm two backers or one backer? So, talk amongst yourselves.
They're looking to get a total of 8,000 backers, but they have 27?
No, they're looking for a total of 8,000 backers. They have 2,827 backers as of this moment. But I ordered two. So does that mean I'm counted as a backer twice or just once? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
I would think it would be counted twice, but who knows?
Yeah,
you should buy me one too and add one to your transaction. That way we'll know for sure.
I'll think about that, Jim.
For science.
All right, you make a strong argument for science. Yes. For science.
I mean, if Rick wants to get one for all of us, like
I want to do a new show called Drop Test, where I take really high end figures and I just drop them and see what happens.
People yell on the internet. That's what happens.
Nerd rage.
Oh, that's what we could do. Have Rick get one for all of us, like just one, and it's for all of us. So we have to share it. We each get a week with it.
You each get a piece. You each get a piece of it. It's the ultimate combiner at the end of your lives. Every time somebody dies, that piece is split up amongst the group again, right? Until the last person is left alive, like that Simpsons episode, and then you get the full Unicron.
No, the thing is we all get one, right? But we have to, we're responsible for shipping costs to each person.
Well, with USPS's new shipping rates, it actually would be cheaper to break it up into parts and mail it.
It'd be cheaper to take it outside and roll it down the street.
I tell you what, it would be really bad. Whoever gets Hang as the person that they have to ship the Unicron to, that would be rough.
See, now that has me wondering now. Would Unicron float?
Will it blend? I don't believe it would. I don't believe it would.
Will it blend?
Saturn would float.
That depends. How big of a blender do you have?
Assuming you have a blender big enough to get it in there. Make that assumption.
Mm. Can you deep fry it?
I live in the South. I'm sure you can.
Rick, that reminds me of one of my favorite Ren and Stimpy bits. Trying to see, like, hey, Dad, can you deep fry the Buick? And it was just getting more and more outlandish as the sketch went on.
From the producers of "Don't Pee, Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence."
Yes,
that one.
Yes,
or Log.
I actually literally watched the Log commercial again yesterday.
It's Log.
It was a developer thing.
It's big. It's heavy. It's wood.
We were logging stuff in our database, and so I sent it to my coworker.
it's better than bad. It's good.
You should make that the sound, like whenever someone logs something, you know, like have it be a sound on Windows.
We need a crowdfunded log now.
All right. Well, on that note, we should probably wrap it up here. So, you know, we here at the TFYLP cast, you know, this is Ouch My Wallet, you know, part of the TF Talk Network. If you love what we do,
My wife's wallet.
Check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/TFYLP. You know, you can catch Microcasters live Tuesday night on Facebook. The main TFYLP show Sunday nights on YouTube, and then Ouch My Wallet here on Wednesday nights. And with that, we will see you in the next episode.
It's pronounced Tiflip.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.